are, this is Sunday morning, and we're just starting the Awakening Together Sunday morning service. And, of course, we have a few people who are not here. Lynn Johnson, of course, who is our regular moderator here at Awakening Together. She is, along with Regina and a bunch of people who are usually here. Barb DeWater, I think, who is usually the admin here in the room. She won't be here. Our music director, of course, is Lynn. And just today, my Windows media player is not working. So, well, it's working, but it doesn't accept CD. So, we know that Holy Spirit has arranged everything perfectly. Yes, arranged everything perfectly. Well, Jay, thank you so much. Jay is going to be our admin in the room, and I was really praying that you would show up. So I do need – actually, I have a couple songs which I played earlier today. One is the Joe Cocker song, You Are So Beautiful, and the other is the Joni Mitchell song, I Can See Both Sides. Now, I have that already in my Windows Media Player, so it does – yeah, they are good ones. For those people who are not aware, Joni Mitchell is a Course in Miracles student teacher. Since the 1980s, and you can hear that in her song, I Can See Both Sides Now. You can really, she looks at the world as an illusion, and she comes to the conclusion that I just don't know. Yeah, I did not, yes, she definitely is. Okay, thank you so much, Sue Oliver from over in England. In the UK. And by the way, you're in Croydon, and I don't know if you're aware, J.M., John Mark Hammer, the scribe of A Way of Mastery, will be having a major gathering in Croydon Hall this summer in August. It'll be, I think, the second or third time that they've all gathered in Croydon. Yes. Oh, my God. So be sure to be in Croydon in August. I'll get the exact dates for you. Of course, a lot of people coming from all over the world for that meeting in Croydon. Yes, and then he's coming to the United States for those people who don't want to fly over the pond. He's coming, thanks to Kathy Scott Perry, he's coming here to the United States. Hi, Phil Frisk. Phil, of course, is on the board, chairman of the board of Awakening Together. Thank you for being here, and thanking everyone for being here. Many of you have been here all morning, and I want to thank Jim Dunn again for being here, sharing, and Kathy Smith for sharing from The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, as she usually does. And before that, we did read from today's lesson, Lesson 124, Let Me Remember I Am One with God. And my goodness gracious, it's so perfect that is today's lesson. Because that's really what we're going to be talking about today during our service. And my wife will be the reader. Okay, this is the time that we usually spend doing a little sharing with each other, as if we were actually in a physical edifice where people usually turn around and give a hug and welcome the people nearest to you. So this is an opportunity to welcome everyone in the room, tell them a little about you, whatever message of love you want to send. Today's message, of course, is loving myself, so you might want to include that. And as you love yourself, you are loving others, because without the love in your heart, you can't really love others, which we'll hear a little bit more. But send your love right now as we open this up to some music, probably by Joni Mitchell. Why not? Okay, thank you so much for using this opportunity for sharing. The mic is now Joni's. Please use it to share with your brothers and sisters. Thank you.
down, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, gone up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave 'em laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take.
Okay, one of the nice things about being your own music director, you can cut off the song at any time you want. Thank you all for using this as an opportunity to meet and greet. And, let me start all over again. Thank you all for using this as an opportunity to meet and greet. I'm going to share a little on Awakening Together, its purpose. And Jay, if you would kindly put up the link to our purpose and our values. And I'm going to be doing the same thing over here. Let me just mention Awakening Together's purpose. As soon as I get that up, is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many truths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Yes, and of course, today's lesson, certainly lesson 124, let me remember, I am one with God, and we are all one with God. That means that we are all one. I am one self united with my Creator. And as it says in this lesson, it says, and He walks with you as your companion. So we always have a mighty companion. If you only knew who walks beside you, you'd have no fear. So it's impossible to be separate and apart from God. We are always one with our Father, with our Creator. And that pretty much sums up really what our purpose is. We are basically a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognize and embrace universal wisdom regardless of the form in which it appears. We're also dedicated to recognizing the ways that we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases, judgments. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And the one core value which I'm going to be talking about, or at least I'm going to use, of the five core values is trust. And as you just heard, Jim Dunn says, where would we be without trust? And trust is really about letting go of all of our personal beliefs and biases. And the first of the five core values of the Awakening Together Assembly is we trust that everyone, I love the word everyone, no one's left out, is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening. So we're all awakening together. That's why we're here, to remember the truth and not to live in the illusion or the lie, which is the realization of our one true self, that we are one, that we are one sonship. We are the one love of God. God loves all equally, doesn't love some separately. we live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So no matter what your path is, the open mind, which is the final characteristic of God's teachers, is open to all paths, recognizing that we, that no matter what path we are taking, it is the perfect one for us, and it's the perfect one for our brother and sister, whichever one that they are on. Okay, I just want to say a few words, of course, right about future events. The one that basically is being attended to right now in Colorado, the Choose Again workshop, is the second of the three events of this year, the first one being in Costa Rica. The third will be in Santa Barbara in September. I don't have the exact dates. If you would put that up, maybe the link to that one, that's be the next event, and that's the event that basically we're going to have Tim Conway, Kirtana, and Magdi MB as our guest teachers there, guest presenters. Yes, thank you so much, Jay. This is Santa Barbara event, September 12th through the 14th, and that's another opportunity. And you know, some of the real main reasons for getting to any of these events is to actually join with like minds. It's the real conference really doesn't take place while you're listening to the presenters. The real conference is in the dining room or when you're just being with your brothers and sisters. So that's a wonderful way to actually join with the very people that you join with every Sunday morning. Or any of the members, I think at this point we have some 338 members of Awakening Together. It may have risen 338 members, so I'm really happy to say that as well. I think the only other announcement I would make again is if you're not already a guest teacher here on the schedule, take a look at the fact that even though there's a voice in you that says, I am not ready yet, that's really the ego speaking to you. That's the ego saying, I am not ready yet. Now, actually, you are the Holy Son of God now, and you can deny that if you want, but that's the way to develop trust. At least that's been my experience, that when you actually give people responsibility and say, okay, take your place among the teachers. Remember, you don't have to know what to say or what to do. He who sent you will direct you. And that's how you develop trust. Trust is, I don't really know what to say or what to do, but I'm sure that whoever I am with, my mighty companion, whether you want to call it the Holy Spirit, you want to call it Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't matter what you call it, those words will be given to you because you are willing. Willing is this key word. You are willing to commit to saying, Father, I am here. I am here to represent you. I am here. And the kindness and the love in my heart will speak with me and for me. Okay, I'm very happy this time to turn this mic over to my wife, Suzanne, who is going to be reading something that you don't find in a book. We found this actually in a newspaper while we're sitting at Mount Sinai Hospital for medical treatment. And I picked up this newspaper called The Jewish Voice, which actually I'll speak about a little bit later in my own talk. And there was this article called The Seven Aspects of Godliness. The Seven Aspects of Godliness. So, Suzanne, this mic is now all yours.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to be here. And this is something very interesting that we're reading today. Let us now examine the bonds with God that make us human, the seven expressive aspects of godliness. The first being kindness. While the drives of the body are towards oneself, those of the soul are directed outwards towards others. We love those to whom we give because they validate our spirituality. We see our highest self reflected in them. The second aspect is strength or empowerment. Specifically, this refers to empowering one's soul to overcome the obstacles that stand before it. We have the capacity to live for the sake of our goals and to make sacrifices to attain it. The ultimate goal of every Jew is to be a source of light. In order to do this, we must submit our egos and desires to the scrutiny of God's truth. The third aspect is beauty. Beauty is created through harmony and contrast. That is when we make a match. When we become people of truth, our words, thoughts, and deeds match. Only humans can lie. The reason for this is that only humans have the possibility of creating themselves in a certain sense. To use the words of the Maharal of Prague, we give birth to ourselves. When we lie, we succumb to our animalistic desire for comfort and ease. When we tell the truth, we reconnect to God's transcendental reality and choose to be authentic as humans. The fourth aspect is infinity. Anyone who has ever resisted the desire for immediate gratification has touched this quality. It is the source of hope and aspiration towards growth. Number five is gratitude. In Hebrew, hod, which is the word for gratitude, it's a noun which literally means splendor, but as a verb means both to confess and to thank. As humans, we can be moved by splendor, whether its source is spiritual or physical. Our ability to be truly sensitive in this sense is what inspires us to express gratitude. We often resist allowing ourselves to be grateful because of the fragility of our self-esteem. When we begin the day with the words, these words, "I thank you," we express gratitude towards God and simultaneously see ourselves as creations that are worthy of life. Number six, foundation. This refers to our ability to bond. It is called foundation because it is the very foundation of all interactions. When we ultimately seek in relationships is goodness. Inevitably, if we had to choose one trait in a prospective spouse, it would be a spiritual one. For some of us, it would be compassion. For others, honesty or sensitivity. If we see our own goodness mirrored back to us, we love the person even more. What this tells us is that what we are seeking is, in the final analysis, spiritual bonding. We are searching for the face of God. Oh my goodness, this is so true in my life. The final attribute is kingship. It refers to our ability to bring God's kingdom into being in the greatest world and in our own hearts. The way we do this is through the recognition that our missions are of infinite significance. At the same time, we retain the humility that comes as a result of knowing what a tiny piece of infinity we can individually call our own. That's really it. That's the last one.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Good morning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Suzanne. And if you're listening, those seven are true for anyone who is on any path, and it's really the basic virtues or attributes or characteristics that basically are given to all who choose to be among the ministers and the teachers of God. And remember the saying that all are called, a few choose to listen. So all are asked, especially if you're doing any of the works like A Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery or NTI or any of the paths, God strengthens his teachers with certain characteristics. And you find that in section 4 of the teacher's manual. And of course, the first one and the only one that we are responsible for, the only one that we actually have to develop on our own, is trust. And there are six steps to trust, and those people who follow Nuke Sanchez, and her first book was called Take Me to Truth. The whole book of Take Me to Truth is based on the six steps of trust. Once trust has been developed, all the other characteristics are given to you naturally, and there's nothing that we have to do. It's just part of the new level of being that we find ourselves in, because when you finally let go of the old and trust to be with your mighty companion who walks with me, my father walks with me wherever I go, there is nothing to fear. If I am with God, who can be against God? We find that all the other things happen naturally. The honesty, telling the truth, which is really nothing more than your thoughts, your words, and your deeds are all consistent with each other. Nothing belies, because there's no one to lie to. Nothing belies. Your words don't belie your thoughts. They're all consistent. Your tolerance for all, your generosity, your patience, your joy, your defenselessness, your faithfulness, your open-mindedness, all of that is given to you naturally, nothing that we have to do to earn it. It's already ours. It always has been. But until we let go of the old way of seeing things through the eyes of judgment and bias and prejudice and thinking that I am better, I am right, at the expense of someone else being wrong, I am special, which is worshiping the God of sacrifice, that some people are more special than others, we are actually defending that which is nothing, thinking that it will give us something. And of course, you can waste not only a lot of time, we can waste thousands of lifetimes doing the same thing over and over. That's why it says in A Course in Miracles, a miracle can save you 1,000 years by the way you count time. One miracle can save you 1,000 years. So what is the miracle but a change in perception in the way that we see things? And of course, until I remove the blockages to love's, to the awareness of love's presence, I'm pretty much stuck in the old, in the past. And of course, as we let go of our past beliefs and judgments, because they no longer serve us, they no longer give us what it is that we thought we needed to defend ourselves against. And of course, the word is against whom? It's always against ourself. It's always against ourself. If I defend myself, I'm attacking myself. And whenever I use any thought to protect a thought system or the way I think versus the way somebody else thinks, what am I doing? I am probably doing the one thing that the ego wants me to do, which is to enforce the belief in separation, which of course never really happened. I'm just going to put up a quote by Ken Wapnick, and some of you might find this a funny quote. And this is what Ken Wapnick says. He said, do you know what the ego's favorite distraction is? This book, meaning A Course in Miracles. He says, this is a wonderful distraction. People want to study it. They want to memorize it. They want to learn where everything is, like Dove does. And they want to do the workbook perfectly. They want to devote their lives to it. What life? The worst thing that you can do with this course, is to take it seriously. That does not mean that you should not read and study it. It certainly does not mean that you should not practice it. But don't do it seriously. If you do it seriously, the ego has gotten you. Ken Wapnick. Now, he's really saying, you got to laugh. You know, his last workshop that he did before he resurrected was one where he came back to point out all the things you got to laugh at that we take for granted in this world. Like he says, you got to laugh. He said this about 3 or 4 times. You got to laugh. He says, it's a joke. It's a joke to think that time can come to circumvent eternity. That time can actually cloud over, circumvent, and close eternity. Of course not. That which begins in time and ends in time has no value to us whatsoever. None. But that doesn't mean that we don't live in a consciousness that begins with, well, this is what I used to think, and it was good enough then, and it's good enough now. And, of course, if you do that, you're never living in the now, you're living in the past. That's why lesson number 7, I see only the past, says this is the reason why the first 7 lessons of this course are true, that nothing I see here means anything. And if it has any meaning, then I'm the one that's given the meaning to it. And you live in those meanings. You live in those meanings. My goodness gracious. So, today I've come with a list of things. And today's theme basically is loving myself. And that actually came to me about a week or so ago. Most of you know that as at my time to be a minister here, which is about every third week, Spirit speaks to me, and I kind of get that whatever the theme is going to be, Spirit gives me everything that I can possibly use for sharing here on this Sunday morning service. And this is what was really given to me. Without loving myself, I cannot love God, who I am one with. Without loving myself, I cannot love God, who I am one with. As it turns out, of course, that's the title of my book, The Open Mind, Loving Yourself. And there's always a few people who say, well, you know, you're supposed to love your brothers as yourself. Of course, you can't love your brothers as yourself if you're not really loving yourself. So love your brothers as yourself means that you must be loving yourself. The Dalai Lama put it in these words, if you don't love yourself, this is from Dalai Lama, if you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. Put that up there. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. Buddha put it, do not look for sanctuary in anyone except yourself. Do not look for sanctuary. Of course, we're in a sanctuary, which is a holy place. In anyone except for yourself. I know that I did that for many years, always looking to see if other people would show mercy, would show this, would show that. And of course, you don't see the mercy, you don't see the kindness, you don't see the love, the tolerance, unless you already have it yourself. So when you say, if you spot it, you got it, that can only have meaning if you have that. So as we're listening to Suzanne, she was talking about how we empower ourselves, how we strengthen ourselves. Because if I'm listening to the little weak self in me, looking for the kindness and the mercy and where is God out in the world, I'm not really going to find it, because that little weak self is actually my teacher. I'm going to put up one more quote from Anita Morjani. I don't know if I can put this up, but it says, the more I love myself, the more it flows out to others. Okay, the more I love myself, the more it flows out to others. So as I strengthen myself, I see the strength and the love and these characteristics of the teachers of God in all. So to just say, and you find this in, you find this in the in books, whether you find it in a mosque or a synagogue or a church or a temple, it doesn't matter. I've been in all, and they all say pretty much, there's a line in it that says, show me someone who says I love God and doesn't love his brothers and sisters, and I'll show you a liar. Because how can you possibly love something you've never seen and not love something that's always right in front of you, which is your brother and your sister? So the love has to start right here. You know, some of the things that we can do in this strengthening And I think we listened to Jim Dunn earlier talking about loving what is, accepting what is. Now, acceptance, I always say, is such a biggie, because acceptance, you know, as it says in the Course in Miracles, lesson 135, paragraph 18, and that's the one that Ken Wapnick calls the atonement lesson. It's the longest lesson in the course. But paragraph 18 simply says, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, past, present, and to come, is gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good, your healing. So, as many great teachers, I'm thinking of Byron Katie, she basically made loving what is ends all suffering. Loving, accepting what is the way to go. To know that everything that's given to us, it doesn't matter what it is. The judgment of the ego says, well, this is good and this is bad and this is right and this is wrong. No. None of that really means anything. That's the ego's way of looking. You know, let's split it apart. The good versus the bad, the right versus the wrong. No. Everything that seems to happen is happening perfectly for our healing, That every lesson that we go through, it says, all things are lessons God would have me learn. But they're only learned if I can accept them as they are for me. I can't run away from the lesson. I can't say, well, I'm gonna avoid this at all costs. I'm gonna avoid pain at all costs. Well, you're really saying, I am afraid. I, the Holy Son of God, is afraid that something in this world can hurt me, can pain me, can threaten me. And remember, the introduction to A Course in Miracles starts off very simply. He says, this entire course, all 1,300 pages, can be summed up in these few lines. Now, if we really accepted that as true, you might not even consider doing the rest of the course, but we can't accept it because it doesn't seem to be true. But then he is the author of the Course in Miracles. He says, this whole course can be summed up in these few lines. What is real cannot be threatened. What is unreal doesn't exist. Herein lies the peace of God. So, we can make up worlds, which we have. Everyone lives in their own little world. So there's 7 billion different worlds. And if we believe that, well, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. let me go the other way. I don't want to be contaminated. That might be contagious. I don't want that. What it is that you cannot accept, actually, is always the ego resisting, saying, I'm going to defend my little, small, vulnerable self. I don't want to be hurt. If you're doing the Course in Miracles, or you're doing any path, you realize that you cannot be hurt by anything in this world. The eternal cannot be touched by anything that starts in time or ends in time, the temporary. That which is temporary is always form. And by the way, words are form. Words are form. Thoughts are form. Thoughts are form. So the thoughts that we have, which of course is comprised of words, which are really symbols, you know, we actually hang on these things like rules, you know, rules, laws. But then along comes a course and says, but I'm under no laws but God's. I'm under no laws, but God's laws are eternal. That's why you've got to laugh. What a joke to think that the rules and the laws of time can come to circumvent the laws of the eternal. So what are some of these laws of the eternal? First of all, if you're taking anything personal, you can be sure that you are stuck in the laws of time. So, you know, the four agreements, take nothing personal. Take nothing personal. Certainly don't take yourself seriously. We just heard from Ken Wapnick. Lighten up. And Jim Dunn just said the same thing. Lighten up. if you're taking yourself seriously, you're in the clutches of the ego. Only the ego could be taking anything seriously. When you're at the movies, if you take it seriously, you must think the movie is real. But if you realize that you're dreaming, you might say, well, sometimes things look too scary to be a dream. Well, just think of what's the most scariest thing you could possibly imagine. And then ask yourself, is this true? Is this who I am? This person that is born, that lives and dies, born and lives and dies? No. Yeah, so you have to do some self-inquiry. Ask to see it differently. Ask to see it differently. Ask to see it differently. And that's pretty much what this course is about, that we don't really know what anything is for. Ask of all things, what is it for? Because I do not know. So if you're stuck in the old way of looking at things, you think that you already know, and, well, if you think you already know, you're pretty much stuck in the ego thought system. So the easiest way out is, I do not know. I do not know what anything is for. Of course, forgiveness, which is our primary function, is really about this giant eraser that lets all things that do not serve us anymore go. Forgiveness looks upon the ego and judges it not. Just looks and sees that it was always insane. It was always ridiculous. It doesn't have to do anything. Forgiveness does nothing. It doesn't. The main thing is it doesn't react. Once we react, it is real. Temporarily, of course. So we keep reacting, and that is not loving yourself at all. That's not loving yourself. So the way you love yourself is to let things go. You don't ponder these things. You don't dwell on these things. You just let it go. You look at it with the Holy Spirit and say, can this be true? And you ask to see it differently, and you let it go. Certainly, laughter heals. We know that. Laughter now will save you many lifetimes later. And Jesus says many times, in your gentle laughter, healing happens. And the gentle laughter only happens when we are able to look at something and not take it seriously, and realize that whatever we're looking at comes from meanings that I have given meanings to, that I'm still holding on to. That's why I'm looking at it seriously, because I gave it the meaning. So you have to start questioning all meanings. And all meanings in this world is what the ego gave to things. It put labels and names on things. That's the way we separate things out. That only added to the confusion. You know, my meaning is not the same as your meaning. But actually, all meanings are things that we just made up. We made them up. There's some people who can talk about death like it's real, and other people talk about death like it's a passing from one room into another. The first two lessons of this course, many of you know, I say really is the entire course. Nothing I see here means anything. And lesson two, in case you think something here means something, then just remember, I'm the one that's giving all the meaning to it. And that's pretty mean to do to yourself. There's the phrase, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? And we can always remember that if you want to be right, you're not going to be happy, because it's always me versus someone else. So it's me versus myself. There's no one else out there but myself. So do I want to be right in making a brother wrong? You're not going to be happy. Oh, you'll have the thrill of the instantaneous adrenaline rush that happens. Oh, man, I won that one. Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Jesus says, choose one. You can't have both. He says that three times. You can't have both. So when you want to be right, just know you're not going to be happy. So loving yourself is really about remembering your happiness. God, which is love, is also happiness. So if I'm loving myself because I really truly want to love God, I truly do want to be happy. I really don't want to be right anymore. That's pretty much what accepting the atonement is. I really don't want to be right anymore. I am so happy that everything I ever thought was true is not true. Everything I ever thought was true is not true. Because everything I ever thought was true was based on the belief in separation. Recognize that everything is gently planned for us. Lesson 135, paragraph 18. It's all gently planned. And then willingness, commitment, repetition, and consistency are four words to actually repeat over and over. Are you willing to let things go? Are you willing to let things go? As Regina once said, you know, I find that whenever she counsels people, there's two kinds of people. I ask them, are you willing to let it go? And if they say no, there's no reason for any more counseling. And if they say yes, that's the end of the phone call. Because everyone's entitled to hold on to something. You know, no one's telling you when to let it go. Jesus says, hey, listen, you know, you and I are alike. We have all of the same that God has given to everyone. But that's all I have. You still carry some excess baggage. He says, and if you're not ready to let it go now, I'll wait. I'm patient. You know, I'll wait this year, next year. I'll wait 1,000 years. I'll wait 10,000 years. Whatever it is that you need to finally let go of is fine. And, of course, if you're here in this room, we like to think that we really want to be here now and let it go now. In today's lesson, you had that thing. Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, you will see the light. And that's Jesus saying, well, I know you're not maybe ready to see the light today, but perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, you'll see the light. That's in lesson 124. But if you're not really willing to let it go now, if not now, when? Okay, trust. Of course, trust is a key word here in this room. And I like the acronym TRUST, stands for To Rely Upon Spirit Totally, given to us by Janine Jansma, one of our guest teachers. Trust is to let go of thinking that I'm in control of anything. As Byron Katie says, hey, give up any belief that you're in control because you're not anyway. You never have been. But if you think that you're in control, you can be sure that's the ego controlling you. The whole idea of love is freedom. The whole idea of love is freedom. Freedom is there is no control. There is no control. That God totally trusts you, His creation, His love. We don't totally trust God. In fact, the word trust is the opposite of the word distrust. And you can be sure that distrust is the home of all fear. If you distrust and think that someone is going to get you, to punish you, to judge you, of course, how can you possibly trust such a person? But of course, you're always speaking about yourself. And here's something that comes a little from Adi Ashanti. I played his recording here the other day, or last night actually, or yesterday, Achieving Total Failure. What fails is not you. What fails is not you. Because what we made was meant to fail. It was destined to fail. Everything that was made in the belief in separation to support separation will fail and must fail. Everything in this world is already obsolete. Nothing in this world of temporary, including technology, by the way, including technology. You notice your computers fail all the time. I was talking about my cell phone failed this particular week. Technology, anything that was not created by the love of God, which gives all equally for eternal, that is always the same, will fail. Anything that is different from God's creation must fail. So what fails is not you. So the acceptance that I am not what fails, I am not the one that has to succeed. And you find this in the Course in Miracles. I think it's in the Happy Dream, what you think is one of your greatest successes is probably one of your greatest retreats. And what you think is one of your greatest retreats, one of your greatest failures, is your greatest success. So you find that in the Course, and it's one of Adi Ashanti's original satsangs, achieving total failure, to accept that the ego self that we made is not and has no reflection of who you are as the Holy Son of God. And then we teach, as God does all the time, and I spoke about this, I think, just Friday, that, you know, God sends his teachers into the world, and we do represent God not by speaking about him, but by example. We teach by example to teach us to demonstrate that we are the kindness and the gentleness and the tolerance and the mercy and the compassion. The gentleness, the compassion, the joy, the generosity to give, the sharing that we know a loving Father is, that we are as God is in his own image. What we made of him, not the one that we made of him, but as he truly is. And that's what we're looking to do in this world, is to strengthen those characteristics which are the characteristics of the teachers of God. If I do believe that God judges and punishes and curses, well, then I will find that I do pretty much the same thing in this world. We kind of mimic whatever we think life is about. I think there was Voltaire that said, God created us in his image and we returned the favor. Yeah, we made him in the image that we made of ourselves. And also to use the body for its purpose. If you use the body to communicate, which is the only purpose the body really has in this world, to communicate with your brothers and sisters, then that is the divine purpose of the body. And the body can be used divinely to inspire. But if we use it for the body's needs and wants, then we're really saying, well, God left me in a place of neediness and lack and helplessness and wanting, and I have to get what I see other people have. And you can see that that's pretty much how the world seems to work. But as Jesus says, the very first step in the undoing process is to stop the habit. So, as the soul asserts nothing about getting, the soul only knows about getting, sharing. So remember our divider, I must be willing to share my remembering, my remembrance of truth. Finally, getting down, I have a list here. Don't judge yourself for judging. That's called double dipping. I call it double dipping. Of course we all judge, but to judge yourself for judging is actually doing the ego's work twice. That's why it can be said, forgiveness looks upon the ego without judgment. Sure, in our fear-based thought system, we will say things that are stupid, insane, sounds silly after I said it, but don't judge yourself for it. Don't judge yourself for it, because whatever you said was said perfectly, was said perfectly. Except that there's someone out there that needed to hear it for their own healing, for their own healing. So we are always saying things to others, and others are saying things to us, but everything happens for our own healing. And finally, forgiveness is looking at your ego without judgment. That's the most important thing. Because you will be looking at yourself many times during the day and say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And again, all things happen perfectly. All things happen perfectly. They happen perfectly because actually we're not the real doer. I know people say, well, you know, what do you mean I'm not the real doer? It's being done through us. It says, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen is gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good. So we don't really know what anything is for. And if I stay in that place of I do not know what anything is for, stay in wonderment and curiosity and ask, what is this for? I will be shown and I will be given by my higher self, my true self will show me. That's what trust is, to rely upon spirit totally. Thank you so much, all. And I'm going to just mention this is a time for reflection. I'm going to play a little music, probably from Joe Cocker's You Are So Beautiful to Me. And it's also a time to see if anything that was said here is something you want to share on. We have about 20 more minutes to go, in which I invite all to share anything that you are inspired to share. It's also a time, if you so feel that you've been supported and inspired in any way, or you just simply want to give and share, to donate to Awakening Together. I'm going to ask Jay to put up the link for a donation. Please use this time for that. I'll be playing some music, and then we'll open the room for sharing. Thank you all so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are so beautiful.
So beautiful to me, and that is so true. And as we see up on the board, Robbie put the word gratitude. If I left out the word gratitude, that should have been the very first one of all, because to wake up in the morning and to just be grateful that we are given this opportunity to gladden ourselves, to actually accept, and to accept is not to just say, well, I accept it, but to give the room and the space for the love of God to be flowing through us. And that's really what is happening. I am sustained by the love of God. Lesson number 50, which caps off the first 50 lessons. I am sustained by the love of God. And there's that wonderful line in chapter 25, section 9, the justice of heaven. It says, if you are reluctant to give at this point, you must have been reluctant to accept what was given to you. Yes, if I am in the mode of resistance and I'm resisting the love of God, well, I will have very little to give and to share. But as I'm willing to open up and open up fully and wholly and say, thank you so much. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for all that I have received. I thank my Father for the gifts that He has given to me. And that is the truth. So help me God. Okay, we're going to open up this room right now for some sharing. If there's anyone who would like to share anything that maybe you heard or something that inspired you, anything that's come up in your own life that you want to share with us, please use the next 15 minutes. Actually, we have more time than that. Maybe Jay will lead us in the social hour that leads that comes usually after this. So we can always move from this hour into the next hour. Okay. Or anyone can lead, whether it's Jay or anyone. I assure you we are all the equal sons of God. That is for sure. Okay. I'm going to open up the mic. And if someone just wants to pick up the mic, please do. If someone's on the mic, just raise your hand and you'll be next. Does anyone want to start off right now? Anyone at all? Thank you all. I saw a few very kind words. Thank you for sharing this morning. And maybe you heard something that basically... okay, Jay McCormick from the City of Love, Chicago, Illinois. This mic is all yours.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody can hear me. I'm switching the settings over. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful sermon, Dove. And you know, I was looking at the board and listening to your inspirational talk, and Sue Chan wrote up on the board at one point. She wrote up the phrase, "The Living God," which really, when I saw that typed on the board, just sort of went into my being. And what I heard in your sermon about trust is that it's inseparable from extending love. That to have trust is the same as extending love. And the only time I can really do that is right here, right now, in the moment. And it's, both you and Jim Dunn were talking about, it's not something you got to get all heavy about. Serious. I love you, I'm serious. No. My heart is light. It's joyful. It's a positive thing. It's, trust is not extended in a serious environment. Trust is extended in where there is laughter, where there's certainly, I'm not saying devotion and a sacred space of consciousness is not, some people can mistake that as serious sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about. It's like a heaviness. And in that space of heaviness, there's no trust. So when I live in the moment, when I'm extending love, when I am opening heart and extending that trust, I am with the living God. I am with the living God. And your seven qualities of godliness from your Jewish publication. And it doesn't really have to be something that requires an advanced degree or even the ability to speak well in a public forum or any accomplishment of any kind. It just, trust is actually one of those things I think that anybody can just pick up. It's like an item at the grocery store. You can just say, I'm going to get some trust here. It's all free. It's always free at the grocery store. Trust. You can always just pick it up at no cost. It never needs to go on sale. It's just an item you can just sort of pick up anywhere. Trust. And, you know, I think the Robbie's writing, God had a boring day with some entertainment. What a good laugh. So he pretended he wasn't himself. Yeah, I like what Timothy Conway wrote about, or spoke about that too, where he's talking about, you know, in God's kingdom, there's space for this silly dream we're having. It's perfectly okay. This is play. It's play. And yes, trains derail, 19 people die, all these people get tortured in China, raped, kids get mistreated. You can look at those things and say, it's a different between looking at those things and extending compassion versus joining in the suffering. When I'm in a state of trust and someone says these things, or I see them on a billboard, or and I'm on the internet and I see a story about some disaster, you know, this mark of the awakened mind is one that can extend the greatest compassion. Like Jan Fraser was talking about Guru Mai. She extended nothing but compassion and love for all suffering. But she did not herself see the suffering as real. Because state of trust in love and an open heart in God, it's not, I deny the seriousness of the suffering. I deny the reality of the suffering. Instead, I extend compassion to the mind that is experiencing that suffering as they see it, however that is. So in that space of trust, I can hold everything. I don't need to reject, in the sense of where the world talks about reject anything. I can accept everything, even people who want to be serious. You know, if somebody does want to be heavy and serious, I can still accept them and not make them wrong. Because I'm in the state of trust of the living God that is in the moment of right now. And that's just some thoughts I had, so I wanted to just share that. Thank you, Dove, for a beautiful hour. And that feeling of trust is with me, as I am surely hoping to become a TSA trusted traveler as well, so that when I go to the airports, I don't have to take off my belt and my shoes, and I can go right through as a trusted traveler. I guess that's their way of saying, hey, Jay, we know you're not a terrorist. You can go ahead and go through here. So maybe as I cultivate the inner trust, the outer trust shall manifest as well, and I don't have to go through the security lines in TSA. Okay. Giving up the mic.
Lovely, Jay. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts there. And I guess my experience for the past couple days, my experience with God, and God gets bigger and bigger. And I've noticed that the ego mind wants to contain God. And it does this by, I think, a number of different strategies. I don't know how exactly. It's kind of probably a lot of mystical wrestling on, you know, in the mind. Some of it's conceptual. But the more I experience, I won't say it's a mystical experience. It's more like my mind is going more and more deeper into the trust of God, and God gets bigger and bigger. And gets more mysterious, and there is no way you can file what God is. As a matter of fact, I'm getting uncomfortable using the word God the more I get closer. The course gets a little smaller. All the words and the concepts get smaller, and in a way, as much as I love the Course, you know, and I love Jesus, just the thoughts, ideas, just like, you know, I get here kind of like tongue-tied. And the whole idea of seriousness, it's just a huge idea of, like, not taking it seriously. The moment I think I know what's going on, that's when I lose it. That's when I know that's ego. The ego is a bastard. It keeps on, you know, coming up in a thousand different forms. And seriousness is one of those, like, one of those ways. And, yeah, I mean, humor is probably the best, not the best, but one of your mighty companions. There's nothing. It's funny how often we just forget to laugh. There's a lot of wisdom in that idea. We forget. And we forget there's this other way of just saying, hey, laugh. Remember, you know, and our society has become so serious. Scowls, too many scowls. You know, you look as when you see someone smiling, it's like, oh, such a relief, isn't it? I try to remember to smile at people. Even strangers, even if they think I'm weird, because it's the one thing I can give everyone, isn't it? Even when you're on the bus or, you know, you're passing someone, it's funny. Some people smile back, some people don't, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, government officials get to the whole TSA thing is serious. Wars come from serious. Yes. Yeah. It's all serious. And, God, you just get sick of it. Don't you? You just... Yeah. Fear. It's all about fear. It's all about... it's identity. We think God's serious. So we've got to be serious. God must be serious. You know? Oh, yeah, we know God. God is serious. You know, and that's baloney, because God is perfect happiness, God is a big smile. God's will for me is perfect happiness. I think that's the one teaching about spirituality that I forget. It is about joy and happiness. It's not about getting anything. It's not about understanding. I loved Ken's, what Dove put on the board about Ken's idea of, like, once we take it seriously, we've lost it, you know? People want to study, memorize it, learn where everything is. They want to do the workbook perfectly. They want to devote their lives to it. What life? The worst thing you can do with this course is to take it seriously. Oh, man, yeah. It certainly does not mean that you should not practice, but don't do it seriously. I love it. It's so freeing. It is so freeing. And that's what God is, you know. God is total freedom, total happiness. And it's like, yes, total joy. Praise God. Praise. And laugh and joy and have picnics. And let's stop working so hard. You know, we're having elections here in the UK, May 22nd, of various offices. And man, one thing I'm not hearing is, one thing that politicians won't tell you is, you're working too hard. You know, you're working too many. And I keep on reminding myself, that's what people really want to hear. Did Jesus tell people to work hard? No. He was a partier. You know, let's stop working so hard. Let's have the atonement do the work. Trust in God. I run on a platform of joyfulness. Yes. That's because, you know, we want to be God. We want to take things on our shoulder. Oh, yeah. I can rule the world. I'm going to run the world. I can do it. Ego can do it. Jesus was like, hey, let me turn your water into wine. Relax. Rest. Love one another. If we loved one another, if we took care of one another, there'd be a lot more happiness and there'd be less work. And there'd be less crime. And everything would be good. So it all fits together. It all fits together. But instead, I see a lot of seriousness in the elections. And again, we forget to laugh. We forget to laugh because we think there's another power. All power is of God. What is not of Him has no power to do anything. We think power has to be serious. Power equals, you know, suits and stuff. It's a lot of snarly. Anyone else want to take the mic? Feel free. I'm just kind of running on now. But it's a lot of confusion there where power is equated with seriousness and wearing a suit and tie and doing serious stuff and doing, you know, blah, 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 blah. Doing X and doing Y perfectly. And that's what power is. And yeah, it's, if we relied on God, we wouldn't have to work so hard. So with that, I'm going to give up the mic, Jay. Yeah, everybody wants, yes, that's where it all comes from. Everybody wants to rule the world. So yeah. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Dove. Awesome, awesome. Exquisite homily today, Dove. Thank you.
All right, I want to thank you so much, Sue Oliver. That was a wonderful way to complete the morning, at least for me, to actually laugh at all the things that we used to take so seriously. And as you're speaking, I was thinking of the line in the course: a tiny mad idea entered into the mind of the into eternity, and the Son of God remembered not to laugh. So if you notice, the whole course is done in a way where it reverses everything that we did in order to attack ourselves, to defend against the truth. And the way to undo it is to go right back through the eye of the needle and undo by laughing at it all. You know, there's not one idea in the belief in separation that is not insane. Not one idea in the belief in separation that is not insane. On our willingness to look at all the things that we hold on to, that has everything to do with the belief in separation, us versus them, me versus you, competition, comparison, and the word comparison, the ego literally lives on comparison. So when we realize that 99.999% of everything that we say or do has to do with the belief in separation, you gotta laugh. You really gotta laugh. Thank you so much, Sue. Thank you all for being here. I really enjoyed this morning. What a wonderful way to... anyone who's ever shared on the mic knows that after you finally put the mic down, you really feel wonderful. Again, if you're not already on the guest teacher's schedule, please either speak to me or speak to Lynn. Actually, Lynn is the one that really sets it up. She's not here this particular week, but there's a lot of openings here, and I assure you that the one that you're really teaching is yourself. The one you're really teaching is yourself. If you want to learn something, teach it. It's right out of the Course in Miracles. Thank you all for being here. I'm going to turn this mic over to you. Thank God for Jay McCormick, truly. Jay, this mic is all yours. Remember, Jay comes from Justice, Illinois. Justice has now spoken. Jay, thank you.
On Monday, okay. You want to go ahead and say something, though? You want the mic? Just raise your hand.
Yeah. Okay, actually, John Mundy, who I've known before I ever heard of A Course in Miracles, actually, we knew each other socially. I actually say we dated some of the same woman back in the 70s. And I didn't know he was doing A Course in Miracles.